Job 38. I want to read several scriptures today, and the message is the unending worship of the Word of God in heaven and on earth. The unending worship of the Word of God in heaven and on earth. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, Isaiah 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And now John 12, to show you the interpretation of what I've read to you. John chapter 12. Verse 41, having quoted the passage that I just read to you, it says in verse 41, explaining it in John's Gospel, These things said Isaiah, because he saw his glory, Christ's, and he spake of him. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And then eventually they do come. And look at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child and Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Luke 2. Having had it announced that the Savior is going to be born of a virgin, it says in verse 8, And there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And one last passage in Hebrews chapter 1. And look at verse 6. This chapter is filled with references to our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 8, the Father says of the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And verse 10, what else does the Father say concerning the Son? Thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou continuest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a mantle thou shalt roll them up, as a garment, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how much thou dost have to say about your Son. We thank you for every word that thou hast had recorded for us concerning him. We would learn more about him, our God, but you've given us enough to fill our minds with wonder and admiration as long as we live here. And when we get to heaven, you shall show us for all eternity the glories of your Son. And so this morning, let us see some of the things that are contained in the passage. By thy Spirit, illumine him and those who hear. And give us a profitable time together, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If I ask you to show me definite proof in the New Testament that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, what would you point out to me? I've read many books, and most of the time, they say something like this. They say, when Jesus performed miracles indubitably, this proved that he was the Son of God. But think a moment. Did Elijah perform miracles? You say yes. Did Elisha perform miracles? You say yes. Were they God? You say no. So that's no proof. If the performing of miracles proves that a man is God, then the Apostle Paul is God. So that's no proof. You say, well, certainly this. The claims that he made to be the Son of God, why, Sun Young Moon says that he is the Son of God, that he's the promised Messiah. I know another one from New York City that says he is God. That a man says he's God means nothing. But the Lord Jesus did say that he was God. He did not say, I am God. But he said this, something even better. He said in John chapter 8, when they asked him about how old he was, He said, before Abraham was born, I am. The Lord Jesus professed to be the I Am of Exodus chapter 3. Jehovah, in talking to Moses wanted to know, whom shall I say sent me? And he said, say, Eye Asher Eye. Say that I am sent you. And the Lord Jesus said, the one who is called I Am in Exodus 3, that is I am. But that cannot be verified until after his resurrection from the dead. But the definite proof that the Lord Jesus accepted the fact that he was God the Son was this. The title of the message was The Unending Worship of the Word of God in Heaven and on Earth. If you think of all the prominent persons that God has recorded for us in the Bible, you will see that at times worship was offered to them, and all of them refused. When the angel was speaking to John, the beloved apostle, in Revelation, John fell at his feet to worship him, and he said, see that thou do it not, worship God. And again, he fell down to worship the angel, and the angel said, see thou do it not, worship God. And so angels, when worship is offered to them, refuse. They say, worship God. And in the Gospels itself, you will find others who are named, and then they appear later in the book of Acts. And when Cornelius comes into the presence of Peter, he falls at his feet to worship him. And thank God for this. Peter says, stand up. He said, I am a man just as you are a man. And not only that, but when Barnabas and Saul are at Lystra and perform a miracle, they come and bring oxen and garlands, and they're going to fall down and worship Barnabas and Paul as gods. They rent their garments and told them that they were simply ordinary men like they were. There is no one who ever accepts worship except the Lord Jesus. And the reason he accepts it is because he knows who he is, and the Father has instructed the highest of his creatures to place upon him and bestow upon him the worship that is due his name. That is why I read to you in Hebrews chapter 1 the reference to the Lord Jesus that you will find in Psalm 96. You'll find Psalm 97, and it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, let all the angels of God worship him. Now think of this. God says earlier that I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what he says in the Psalms is this. Let all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is one with the Father. The Lord Jesus tells us what the Father thinks of him in chapter 5. He says, the Father has demanded that all men honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Either the Lord Jesus was God or the greatest blasphemer that ever lived. He says that the Father said that men should honor me as they honor the Father. Now, the reason that I read to you from Hebrews chapter 1 is because these words, the demand for the Son to be worshipped, come from the Father himself. It says this, first of all, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And that is what happened
in Luke chapter 2. One angel at first, but then it says suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts came down and they shout this acclamation, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the day of his birth, the command of God to let all the angels of God worship him began. Now think, what happened when Christ came to earth was no new thing. That is why I read to you from Job 38 and Isaiah 6, because in Hebrews 1, the Father is acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the creator of this universe in which we live. It says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. And so John says that Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. And the Father tells him, quoting from Psalm 102, he says, in the beginning you laid the foundation of the earth. And it says, the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but you endure. What does this mean? It means that the Father is the one who is giving this acclamation and is declaring that his Son is everything that he claims to be. And that is why when our Savior was on earth and men came and worshiped at his feet, the Lord Jesus never said, stand up, I'm simply a man like you are a man. He was a man among men, for as much as the children then are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same, that he might die for our sins. But the Lord Jesus was different from men, in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But it says this, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet the Lord Jesus understands who he is, and he understands the acclamation and the worship and the adoration that are to be given to him in this world. And when man came to give it to him, he always accepted it. Why? Because it was the Father's will that he accepted. Now think, put these two things together. I read to you from the book of Job and Isaiah, showing that the Lord Jesus was he who was worshipped in heaven. He was worshipped from the first day of creation. In Job 38, God says this, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job was non-existent. And he said, and when I laid the foundation of the earth, he said, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Why? Because these angels that God says, let all the angels of God worship him, they were worshiping him and admiring him and marveling as he brought this universe into existence. It is not what God did and nobody saw it, but he had first brought these angels into existence. And then when he brought this universe into existence, it was so thrilling that the angels, the morning stars, sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. From the first day of creation, the Lord Jesus was acclaimed as God. Job tells us that. The Father himself is telling us in Job, and the Father himself tells us that in Hebrews 1. And then in Isaiah 6, let us rejoice because Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the one he saw, he tells us who he was. He said, mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Well, how do we know that with the Lord Jesus? Because John tells us in chapter 12 that Isaiah saw him and spoke of his glory. Now think, I told you that we have the unending worship of the Word of God in heaven and on earth. And so from the beginning, the first day of creation, the Lord Jesus is worshipped by angels of heaven. And on the first day of his birth, one angel and then a multitude of heavenly hosts come down and they worship him and they give acclamation to him. And so isn't this remarkable? That as the creator of heaven and earth, he is acknowledged as God and worshipped in heaven. And his first day on earth as the incarnate Son, he is worshipped by this multitude of angels from heaven. And so the Lord Jesus has unending worship in heaven and on earth. But this is what God does. God has our Savior worshipped by those with different degrees of comprehension. Because the word proskuneo means to prostrate oneself, to give reverence, or ultimately to give worship. And the Lord Jesus throughout his life was constantly worshipped when he was on earth. Let me give you an example. When the Lord Jesus was born, angels worshipped him. They have a greater comprehension of whom they were worshipping, and they knew who he was. Why? Because it was nothing new to them. The one whom Isaiah saw high and lifted up had now been made flesh. It said the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word, without ceasing to be God, was made flesh and he dwelt among us. And so here is this one who was worshipped in heaven by the angels. And now these same angels are marveling when God is manifested in the flesh, and they worship him on earth as they had been worshiping him from the beginning of creation in heaven. The unending worship of the Word in heaven and on earth. Now, with full understanding, the angels worship the Lord Jesus. But when the Lord Jesus was born and grew later, the wise men came and they said this, "We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him." Worship him is what? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And so at least they knew this much, that the Lord Jesus was the King of the Jews, the promised one throughout the Old Testament who was to come to the earth, and God had caused a special star in heaven to manifest that this prophecy had been fulfilled. And this star leads them to the place that the king was who could call the wise men and they could tell him where he was to be born. According to Micah 5:2, he is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And when they learn this, they leave Herod, and as they go forth, the star appears again and leads them to the place where the Lord Jesus is lying. And they come and they worship him, and they offer him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, not with the same degree of comprehension do the wise men worship this newborn king, a little older now, but at least they know him and worship him as King of the Jews. And the Lord Jesus, an infant, accepts that worship. To what degree does he understand? Perhaps sometime I'll tell you about that. But at least he is worshipped as he is in the arms of his mother. Now, after this, we have those with lesser degrees of comprehension coming and worshiping the Lord Jesus, because the Father has determined that he shall be worshiped by those with full intelligence, with those with great intelligence, and with those with limited intelligence. But he is determined that the Lord Jesus is going to be worshipped. He's going to be worshipped by angels. He is going to be worshipped by men. He is going to be worshipped by true believers in God and in Christ, and by false ones as well. The Father has determined that the Lord Jesus, from the beginning to the end, is going to be worshipped. Some with full understanding and some with little understanding. And he has illustrated that for us in the Old Testament this way. It speaks about a man who, when he wants to offer a sacrifice to God for his sins, the Lord says, "This is what I desire, an animal." He said, "But some have not sufficiency to bring an animal." He said, "Let them bring turtle doves or pigeons, but some have not sufficiency to bring that." He said, "If not, let them bring a handful of meal from this ephah, tenth part of an ephah of fine flour. Let them take that handful of meal and offer that." But think, it is still the Lord Jesus with the least comprehension. They cannot see him as this animal, like a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They cannot see him as a bird, this heavenly one that came down from heaven, but they simply see him as this man, Christ Jesus. A handful of meal is all that they can understand, and yet God says, "I will accept that." Now, when the Lord Jesus is on earth in the days of his flesh, we have kings with a great deal of comprehension, wise men, and they come and worship with what comprehension they have, but then others worship him as well. Our Savior, after he speaks this Sermon on the Mount, comes down, and it says, a leper came forth, and he worshipped him. Now, what degree of comprehension did this leper have as to whom he was worshipping? Small, but he had this much. Here is one, and he has the power to cure me of my leprosy. And so this leper, with what understanding he had, with all the reverence that he could have and give to the Savior, he worships our Lord, and he says to him, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, "I will, be thou made clean." Remarkable that some who want to be made clean worship the Lord Jesus and beseech him to be made clean. But now others, after they are healed, worship the Lord Jesus. This leper at first knew, and he had enough knowledge to worship the Lord Jesus and beseech this one, the only one on earth who could heal him of his leprosy. He besought him to heal him. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And so the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, with what understanding that leper had, touched him and made him clean. Now, on another occasion, in John 9, our Savior makes clay and puts it on the blind man's eyes and sends him to wash at the pool of Siloam. And he washes his eyes, and he comes seeing. And then the authorities attack this man, not believing that he was blind and that Jesus had opened his eyes. And this man takes his stand for the Lord Jesus and tells them once and again what he thinks of him. "What do you say of this man?" "Why, he is a prophet." And then they say, "We know he is a sinner." He said, "Why, herein is the marvel, that a man opened my eyes, and you are saying that he is a sinner? If he were not from God, he could do nothing." And they said, "You were altogether born in sins," and they cast him out. But it says this, that the Lord Jesus, having heard that they cast him out, found him and said to him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And the man said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" And the Lord Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and he it is who speaketh unto thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. So here is one who did not worship him at first because he did not even know who it was that opened his eyes. But as soon as the Lord speaks to him, he says, "I who speak to you am he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." So here is one who, when he learns the one who opened his eyes, gives him worship that is due to him as the great physician whom God sent forth from heaven to heal the sick and the blind. Now, at times, there are others who come to the Lord Jesus, and they want nothing for themselves, but they want something for those who are precious to them. And they come to the Lord Jesus, and Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, has a little daughter that is at the point of death, and he comes to the Savior and says, "My daughter is at the point of death. I want you to come and heal her, raise her up." And before he asked that, it says he had worshipped the Lord Jesus. Think of this, a ruler of the synagogue, those Jews that hate the Lord Jesus and would reject him, a ruler of the synagogue comes and worships the Lord Jesus. Why? Because someone who is precious to him, he wants a blessing. And this man knows that only Jesus can raise his daughter from the sickness or death that she's at the point of. And so he worships the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus does for him as he did for the leper. The leper wanted healing for himself, and the Lord Jesus gave that healing. And this Jairus wants healing for his daughter, and he worships the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus gives healing to that daughter. Now this, do you realize that even the apostles of the Lord Jesus at first are uncertain who he is? And when our Savior, the first time, stills the storm that is on the sea, they marvel and they say this, "Who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is this?" They do not know. But again, when the Lord Jesus is walking upon the waters and he comes to the boat and they're terrified, and the Lord Jesus said, "It is I, be not afraid." And Peter wants to come to him, and he empowers Peter to come to him. And then Peter becomes afraid, and he's sinking, and the Lord Jesus puts forth his hand and saves him from a watery grave. And he brings him to the boat, and they both enter the boat, and then there is a great calm. And at that time, it is no longer, "Who is this?" But they worship the Lord Jesus. They now know to a degree who he is. You would think that since so many people discover the greatness and the dignity of the Lord Jesus, that the nobles would understand who Jesus was. But Paul tells us this. He said, "I speak God's wisdom in a mystery." He said, "But only to certain ones, to those that are wise, to those that have been enlightened of God." He said, "Which none of the nobles of this world knew, none of the rulers of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And so here is the Lord Jesus, who is worshipped from the beginning of creation in heaven, and he comes to earth, and from the day of his birth until the day of his death, he is worshipped to a greater or lesser degree. And on the first day of his resurrection after his death, the Lord Jesus is taken by
the feet and worshipped by the women, and he is worshipped by his apostles as well. And so this beginning of worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, who began with creation, continued on earth, continued after his resurrection, shall continue forever in heaven. And that is why I read to you in Revelation 5, in a coming day, worthy is he who has been slain, worthy is he to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And it says, every created being worshiped him who lives forever and ever. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God manifest in the flesh. Worship thou him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this one whom you sent from heaven. Let us know that you sent him in such a way that none of the nobles could know him. They were not expecting him, but our Father, some of the lowly ones were, and you fulfilled all their expectation. And our God, we are thankful that we have grown enough to know that we do not disobey you when we worship the Lord Jesus, because we're doing what you've told us to do. You have told angels to worship him, and you expect all of your other creatures to worship him as well. And so while thanking you for the lowliness of him who had existed in the form of God, he made himself of no reputation, but Father, even on earth, you had determined that he would be worshipped by angels and by men, and he is glorious forever, and our occupation throughout eternity will be to continue to worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, and we are thankful that we have heeded your command that all the angels of God worship him. And our Father, we join with them, and we worship him, your Son, God, manifested in the flesh. We thank you in his name. Amen. The meeting is over.